In this podcast, Ray and Deb from MysticScribblers.com share with you about their steamy past life romance series called A Twisted Series, their philosophies on life, and how they started on their writing journey together.
We're glad you're with us today and that we have an opportunity to share with you our thoughts. We've in the middle of writing our series, A Twisted Series. It's composed of 5 books. It's about 4 individuals who meet and have been part of each other's lives in other lives in the 1940s in this particular case, and how their lives have crisscrossed back and forth through time, and how they find through those relationships they fulfill what was lost in the past life as if it was meant to be. I guess I've been fortunate through my life that I've been open to tap my soul, if you want to call it that. I have done a lot of soul searching and have found information within that search of lives that I believe I've lived before, unexplained things that happened in my life, that knowledge about something that I can't identify where that knowledge actually came from. I worked on commercial buildings with huge motors and stuff, and I was the head technician. And I can remember my first job, I wasn't that experienced, and walking up to a air conditioner that was as big as 2 of my cars put together, and I could feel that motor. It's like I could see what was happening. And I had a technician there from an AC company who was very experienced, and he was telling me that there's nothing wrong with this unit, there's, you know, blah blah blah, and I said, no, there's a problem. And I knew exactly where it was in the motor, and he said, that can't be. I said, well, shut it down and check it out. Come back about an hour and a half later, he said, how'd you know that? That's what's wrong. I've got to replace this bearing.
Now,
I can't
would you know that?
Believe that you heard that bearing. I don't hear that good.
Well, it's because you had experience, and it's from your past lives.
I think so. And that's just one of many. I mean, I remember being on a battlefield during the Civil War. It was one of the battles of Bull Run. And I was a Confederate soldier. I was with my wife at the time when we went to visit the battlefield. And we missed
the... In your present life, you're saying?
In my present
okay.
life. We missed the last tour. So I said to her, well, let's just walk out there. We'll stand on this high ridge over here. And we walked out on that high ridge, and she said, you know, you gotta really distant look in your eyes. And I began to talk about, and we were up here, and we charged down, and she said, you kept saying we, and we charged down towards that fence down there at the bottom, and we rode around to the right and came back up this ridge over here. And I said, the last thing I remember is just being on top of the mountain, the top of this hill. At which point the guide who had taken the last group is walking out, and my wife said, oh, let's go stand, we can at least listen to what he has to say. He said, and the Confederates were on the top of this hill. Their cavalry charged down the hill.
So it wasn't as if you were told, you just knew. You absolutely just knew it because you experienced it.
Explain that.
Well, I explain it by saying you experienced it in
another
life.
And I remember that day that I died in that life. I'm laying on the ground and I'm looking up at the sky above me.
Wow. Well, it's obvious that you were there. To me, it's not just a coincidence. I look at it as that's a recall.
I believe that we're composed of a soul. We're inside a body, which we can, I guess, refer to, if you want to, for simplicity, a vehicle that by which the soul travels. And, you know, we know that our souls are a collection of all the experiences that we've had in this lifetime, as well as in past lifetime, because we believe the soul is a continuous presence that has been in each round of times that we've lived. And, you know, it's hard to understand why somebody like Adolf Hitler would come back, or what's his name?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, why he came back, or why he comes back. And how do you communicate with your soul? And, you know, I was just stating that as you get older and you start saying things like that, people start wondering, has dementia set in already on him? Is he already suffering from a mental lapse in what life is all about? And, you know, I can see my adult children wanting to say, you know, Dad is really starting to lose it.
Well, if you bring it up too much, but the problem is that's what we do. We write about past lives.
And why is that important? Because I look at romance. Why am I a romance writer? I ask myself that question. I'm a male. Males statistically are not very successful in being romance authors because women just don't think we got it. We have no understanding of what romance is. A male's idea of romance is how lucky can I get by what I do or say, whether I give the right Hallmark card, buy the right flowers, candies, and of course, jewelry is a real bonus. And that's particularly if you want to get lucky. And so women who read romance novels by males figure that's my take. So, Deb.
Yes.
What is it that you guys are really looking for?
We're looking for what's in our book, which is really cool. A connection. An overwhelming desire to be with that person. You can't leave them alone. You can't get them out of your head. You want to eat, breathe, and feel them constantly. And that's what romance is about. And that's what we write about. But we bring the element of past lives into it, which makes a connection that we crave that much stronger.
Yeah, our books are about this type of romance. And this is a definition of romance from the Urban Dictionary. Romance is a state of connection between two people that is brought about by thoughtful, sentimental gestures that mean something to one or both parties. Gestures that communicate care and understanding and love, as well as desire to reach out and connect through the heart with a partner. The purpose of romance is to show the person you love that you're thinking about them, that you would like them to slow down so you can connect with them, so you can share love again. Past lives to me, and what we write about, Twisted in Time, is a love story about two people from the 1940s who reconnect in the 1980s. They don't know that they're reconnecting at the start of the story, but I believe that love is part of a past life connection to reestablish something that's been lost. And I can't tell you that you're going to be the lucky one to find somebody from your past life. That doesn't mean that your love isn't going to be successful. But I do believe that we should take time to listen to our souls, listen to our hearts. And to me, Twisted in Time is that story. And A Lost Romance Found is a part of that story, where they talk about the last 3 days that this couple in the 1940s share before he loses his life.
But don't be sad, because they're reconnected in the first book.
I think that's really what past lives are all about. finding that connection.
Well,
connection.
What I think is cool is also, you and I feel like we've had a past life.
We have.
Or two. How many? We don't know. Together. Or on even what level. But we know that our souls are acquainted with each other. And that's why we can write so well.
Could be brother and sister. Could be just friends. Could be family friends. Could be any number of things. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't.
From the moment we met 18 years ago.
Yes.
We knew that we were connected.
We were friends instantly.
Yeah.
And our families melded together instantly.
And your husband doesn't meld together with anybody.
No. No, he's pretty picky.
And how about your kids?
My kids are, yeah, they're in love with you guys too. Finding each other again at the time that we did was so exciting. It's what brought about this writing that we're doing. And it's explosive. We have so much fun. And
both of us were on a book adventure. You had written a book. You were raising kids.
And you weren't.
And I was finishing raising kids.
You were done. And I wrote a book and then received a call from Ray through...
Well, I'd actually called her husband because my typing skills are one finger trying to figure out why they put the exclamation point all the way at the top of the keyboard because my finger just can't figure that one out and my brain can't remember. The comma and the period just are all in the wrong place.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I help you out with that.
Exactly. And so I called her husband because I had his number. I'd done some work in their house many years before. I helped them remodel a kitchen. And I called him and I said, "What's Deb doing?" He says, "Oh, she's a stay-at-home mom." And, you know, I said, "Well, I need somebody to type." I figured, you know, we'd start typing. So I came over to their house and there were, I can remember walking in with my notebooks, which were like my scribble writing. Good luck reading them. Deb on the other side of the coin is sitting here with this perfectly typed 500 page book and hands me a part of it. "Well, take a look at mine." And I'm like, and I hand her mine that's like got mustard stains on it and coffee and I don't know, maybe I was sitting outside and a bird went overhead, bloop, you know. And so she started reading my story and I'm like reading her story and all of a sudden she...
I put it down and I said, "Put mine down because we're writing your story."
And that's how we started.
And that's how it started.
She was a court stenographer.
Yes.
And I rented a little office from a guitar teacher that I was taking lessons from. And she brought in her equipment, which is one of those things you see in the courtroom.
It's called a steno machine.
And she now has taken my book and she's got it, you know, set up. Eventually I did recordings because she couldn't read what I wrote. And I'm watching the words. One column was this, like no language I've ever seen in my whole life, a bunch of letters, and all of a sudden words just start showing up on the page on the other side, and it was really cool. And after we did that for a couple of weeks, I said, you know, I'm not a romance novel reader. I've read them, but usually if it's written by a woman, it's a woman's point of view. If it's written by a male, it's a male's point of view. One of the things I like about our book is it's a blended view.
Our series is definitely blended.
I said to her,
"It's fair.
I know that you're so easy to be married to that Tim doesn't drink. And I'm married to somebody who's just as easy as you." And I said, How about we drive the two characters that we've created in Twisted in Time who are all the way through our series. You drive the female character, I'll drive, and let's collide.
And
make it a real story, a real collision, the way real life is, because that's what I think the story's all about.
And it works. It really works. Everyone who's read it has enjoyed it, and yeah. They wait for the next book, as we do too.
A friend of mine who has a literary degree said to me a couple of weeks ago, we were at dinner with them, and she said, you know, usually when I see two names on a book, I'm like, oh, this is going to be rough to read because it's got his point of view or her point of view or her point of view and her point of view. And you're reading through this book and you're always getting caught up. She said, if I didn't know better, you could have put one name on your book and I would have believed that it was one writer.
Well, we balance each other very well that way. This is a passage from Twisted in Time. I've always found love to be intoxicating, like drowning in the finest wine. Trouble begins when you sober up from her effect. You think it to be a mistake. At times, we. Yes. She doesn't care about why you are one with her. All she wants is to be. You can want her, but she must choose you. Perhaps she, love, is meant to fulfill a cosmic design unknown to us. Madam, trust me, in her truest form, she does not make mistakes. Ginger stared at him for a moment. Armand, you speak of love like it is a living being. He responded, "We, I do. Only a woman knows where love begins, in the soul. Do you see why I call love a female? She is painfully beautiful."
Grant loosened his tie and poured a short vodka, then walked out to the balcony, drink in hand. The light night breeze was gentle, but felt good against his face. The Broadway lights below danced, and the street bustled with people, yet suddenly he felt utterly alone, realizing Ginger could leave any moment. She's so full of life. Just knowing she's here is uplifting. My emotions for her are overwhelming. How can this be? And who is she really? Lost in his thought, he sipped his drink. Then a voice startled him. "Grant, what are you doing? Are you okay?" Ginger softly asked, wearing her bathrobe with her hair wrapped in a towel. "Yeah, just decompressing from the week and looking at the lights." He looked up at the sky. "It's hard to see a single star up here. Last week in Wisconsin, I could have captured 1,000 stars in a paper cup. They were so plentiful. What a difference life. 1,000,000 crickets sing in there, and here there's 1,000,000 people." "Well, I suppose if you look hard enough, you can see one. Look right there." She pointed and slightly leaned into his body. Her touch sent waves of desire through him, yet, "You miss them?" "The stars?" Grant asked. "No, your kids," Ginger said. "Yes and no. Does that sound bad?" Still leaning into each other, not waiting for her response, he continued, "Everything in life has trade-offs. I love being a dad. I love my children. But sometimes I think I have been a better uncle. You know, the favorite uncle that showed up and gave you all the treats you could possibly want. Ever have an uncle like that?" "No, no uncles like that." She pushed further into his body. "But I have the next best thing, my Aunt Sadie. Good news is you'll get to meet her at the picnic. She's going to eat you alive." "Think I'll get a present?" "If you're a good boy." She was thrilled to see his smile return, only to watch it fade away with his next statement. "The problem with being too smart, Ginger, is that sometimes it makes you melancholy." "I know the feeling." Ginger's lips were just inches from his. "Yet really what counts is simple. It can be right in front of your eyes. And regardless of how smart you are, it's still unattainable." Looking deeply into each other's eyes, Ginger didn't respond. She just soaked up in his words. He imagined reaching over and unwrapping her towel and pulling her in for the first kiss. Instead, he straightened up, finished his vodka, and said, "Well, thank you for a great time. Sleep well." She whispered, "Good night, my sweet Grant." That, to me, is what love's all about. Discovery.
New love is really exciting.
Two souls that are seeking and knowing. He knew that there was something about her. But that's only page 140. He's got to get all the way down to let's see, the last page is 331 before he finally figures it out. We've really enjoyed sharing with you our thoughts and experiences that we've had, and hopefully you understand our philosophy and hope you enjoy everything you read in our stories, because all of them are based on romance and based on past lives, because we really believe that's what life is. It's how we're intertwined with each other and how we find people. Don't you agree, Deb?
I do. I know that we've been in each other's past lives. Don't know from which direction or how our connection was, but we know that we've been together before in whatever circumstance. But so we like to just bring the message of love through our writing, that, you know, true love is
beautiful. You know, I try to stay away from the word soulmate because sometimes that gets a little twisted around, but life is about love and about opening our minds to the possibility of what's out there that we can't see.
Believing in it and trusting in it. I agree. So, goodbye, though.
Ray and Deb, thank you for joining them for the Mystic Scribblers podcast. Be sure to check out mysticscribblers.com for more information about their steamy past life romance series. Take the past life quiz and discover even more about your past lives. Thanks for listening.